You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So believe it or not, we are actually in week 12 of Hosea. And I suppose a question I can ask, and it's fitted really nicely with the prayers that we've been saying out the back already this morning, and a question Debbie's already challenged us with. What do you enjoy most about coming to church on Sunday? Don't all shout at once. Go on, Martin. Okay. Did you catch all that? So learning new stuff and how that relates to everyday life. Anything else? You love the worship? What part of worship?
Just offering my heart to the Lord.
Brilliant. Thank you, Eric. That was lovely. Sorry to draw it out on you further. Don't be frightened now to answer. I'm not going to pick on you. What do you love? Someone can't, I bet you in the street, oh, you go to church on Sunday. What do you enjoy the most? Music? Being in God's presence with your brothers and sisters. I heard an amen over there to that one. What else? Have you ever thought about it before? Is this a really good question? Go on, Debbie.
I think being part of the body, really, just to see God working
through his body. Okay, being part of the body. If I said, what do you hate most about church on a Sunday, will I get more answers? I'm not going to go there. I'm steady. But what do? Do we sing together? We pray together? We meet with each other? There's a word from God. We bring our offering. There might be a ministry that we can serve in. But I suppose an additional question is, do these things define our faith? The things that we do? Because actually, I don't know if you've got any non-Christian friends, but they look at you and they probably say, oh, because you do that, therefore you must be like this. Do our actions define us? Okay, another question for you. Have you ever been accused of not being a very good Christian by the things, or not being very Christian by the things that you do? Ooh, that's not very Christian. Has anybody ever had that said to them? One or two. Go on, stick your hands up if you have.
I said it to
myself. You said it to Brilliant, Eric. That's not a very Christian attitude. We get judged by the things that we do. Is it dangerous to think that by doing our bit, even on a Sunday, it makes us right with God? I mean, maybe we are right with God, but does doing things make us right with God? Because we could be doing things really well, couldn't we? But still not be right with God. I was looking around online for what some other pastors said. A chap in, I think it's San Diego or San Francisco, Pastor Henry Tam, said it like this. He said, observance to outward forms without the inward reality of a right relationship with God is what we call hypocritical worship. And that is our title this morning, hypocritical worship. Observance to outward forms, the things that we do without the reality of what's in us at right relationship with God is actually hypocritical worship. If we do stuff and we're not right on the inside, it's being a hypocrite. In our reading this morning, Hosea was actually writing to the leaders. That's why I pointed out at the beginning, the right religious people, the king, and he was warning them of hypocritical worship. What was being shown on the outside, it might have looked good, like coming to church on a Sunday morning. Some folk do that, Sunday best. But inwardly, their daily, even breath by breath, relationship with God was non-existent. So I've got lots of questions for us this morning. Where does God fit into your life? Where does God fit into your life? Okay. Okay. Why aren't you all shouting at me, that's the wrong question, Darren? Because what's the right question? Where do we fit into God's kingdom is a better question. Is that right? Because if we're saying God's got to fit in, he's a bolt on, he's a coat I might put on, he's something I might try and I might do, it's something we can therefore take off. It's an optional extra. But actually, if we are in God's kingdom, that becomes something entirely different. It's not about me anymore. Is God, and another question for you, the very reason you live, breathe, and move? Are you at that place where you can say, I can do nothing without him? My prayer is that we're not hypocritical worshippers this morning. And we're going to have some time to reflect. It's called Reflections, and we have time to stop and think. And I want to give us that space, or give Holy Spirit that space, to talk to us. Because if we're in a place, or there's something in our lives, there's something in my life, I want God to wake me up. I want him to shake me up. I want him to say to me, Darren, look, this bit is the bit we need to sort out now. When we had the prayer ministry, and they said it was a bit like an onion skin, you know what I mean? The layers come off. We've sorted some stuff out, but there's now the next bits that he wants to deal with. I don't want to be a hypocritical worshiper. Confession time, personal confession time with you. One of the things that scares the living daylights out of me the most is a healthy fear of the Lord. I am worried, or not worried, my motivator is that God wouldn't hand me over to those things that are wrong in my life. Now, a very different place to where I was 20 years ago, 25 years ago, even at the beginning of the year. God has done some work. But what does it say in Hosea 5:4? And I thought this was really interesting. I kind of dwelt on it a little bit as I read the reading out. Hosea 5:4 says this: their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. It carries on, but just that part there. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. Now, like most here, I know myself very well. I know what my journey's been like. I know how my mind works. Praise God, I'm being brainwashed. As somebody once said, I would need my mind washing clean. I want to keep those short accounts with God. And honestly, like Eric, I'll give myself a jolly good telling off. If I allowed myself to do stuff that God then says, Darren, I hand you over to that. Get on with it. And then he says to me, your deeds do not permit you to return back to me. What a dreadful place it would be that I would be handed over to something. Let's put it into a modern context, or into a New Testament context. We've read it before. It kind of sits really nicely with Hosea. If you want to dive into Romans, right at the beginning of Romans, Romans 1. We read part of this out in the previous message. Romans 1, 24 to 25. What does it say about being handed over? Therefore, it says, verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. And it actually has amen at the end. It wants us to agree with that. So be it. Having tasted and seen that God is good, there is no other place I'd rather be. My relationship with God is absolutely everything, and I want nothing to get in the way of that. Question, is that the same for you? Is that the same for you? Or is there stuff there that you know Holy Spirit keeps knocking on your door? And he says, let's deal with it. Not because he wants to show us up, but because he loves us. And he says, let's deal with that. You're not meant to carry that bit. Stop it. Lay it down. I don't know if you can remember my map. Morris, I think we've got some bits there. Do you remember this overview of this map in the Old Testament? If you click on, there's a few clicks there, you will see that it comes down. We see how the northern kingdoms and the southern kingdoms go off. On the right-hand side is the line that goes down to Hosea. On the left-hand side, we come down. We've got Daniel. We've got the exile, and it comes through into the New Testament. If we click a few more times, we actually get onto the next slide, and it shows you right at the end of there, right at the end on there. Oh, we go back one. On another one. That's one there, that's fine. So you see at the end there, we've got Elisha, Elijah, Jonah, and Hosea. And right at the end of Hosea, on that line on the right-hand side where it says exile to Assyria, where that comes to an end, it looks like the end of the line. That's where it was for God's people. That's where they were at. This was so dreadful, the things that they'd done, that this was the end of the line for them. And this morning, my prayer is there's nothing that's the end of the line for us. Isaiah actually is down the other line. If you actually look, we've got Elisha splitting down this side. We go down the left-hand side. Isaiah is speaking to these people. And he says to these other tribes, the other two, he says, I will hide my eyes from you, says God. Even though you make many prayers, God says, I will not listen. Right at the beginning of Isaiah 1, verse 15. In fact, the opening chapter of Isaiah 1 carries many warnings, which are kind of echoed in Hosea. And I think they are entirely relevant for us today. To get back to another message that I did once before, if we're going to say we're going to be hypocritical in worship, what is worship? Let's define it. Or let's have a go. Worship means, or what does worship mean? If we actually turned it round the other way, what is worship not? Worship is not 20 minutes of singing on a Sunday each week. Worship is not just an act. It's not something that we just do. And worship certainly isn't emotionally led. Now that might point a finger at quite a lot of modern church services. But to divine biblical worship, we need to understand who we're worshiping. That's the key. Who is it that we're worshiping? So my first question is who? And the answer is? Yeah. It's a good question. Okay, let's do that one. The answer is, who are we worshiping? We are worshiping? Good. I'm glad we're there. What does the Bible actually say? What does Jesus say the Word of God says in Matthew 4? You see, Jesus is being tempted here. He not only passes by getting the answers right, but demonstrates that there's actually power and authority in God's word. Jesus basically tells Satan to get lost. And he could do this because he knew what was written in the scriptures. Matthew 4, verse 10. Jesus says to him, "Away from me, Satan. Get away, get lost, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus, quoting from Deuteronomy 6:13, "Fear the Lord your God and serve him only." It was actually so important, this idea, that it's in the first of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 3. "You shall have no other gods before me. Worship the Lord your God only." So we need to work out who we're worshipping. If we don't define worship and we don't know who it is. But do you really know who he is this morning? Who is God? A question again. Are you here this morning because you're so excited about God? Because you're passionate about him? Because he's absolutely everything to you? You feel you almost cannot breathe without him? You can't, but that's another message, Wilhur. But be honest with yourself this morning, literally. Are you sat here looking at the clock, making sure that you can punch out at the correct time so you can be getting on with what you really want to be doing today? Is that what church is like? Is it like a car journey? You've got to go on it. You know that there's a good bit at the end, but we're on a car journey. And what do the kids say? Are we nearly there? Yeah. Is that where we're at this morning? When we really know God, when we really know his son, Jesus Christ, he becomes absolutely priceless to us, doesn't he? Absolutely priceless. Your most valuable thing, something you'll never, ever give up. The most valuable thing will have the most worth in your life. And you know where this is going now, don't you? From the old Anglo-Saxon term, we had worth. And if something had worth, that was our worth-ship. You clicked lots of times. Go back a few times. Let's have a go. That was my lovely little animation then. So we got our worth. Click just the once. That gives us our worth-ship. That's what the Anglo-Saxon term was. We take the th out the middle, get rid of the th, and we've got worship. What is it that we give the most worth to? Whatever you give the most worth to is your worship. We all worship something. A lot of people say, I don't worship. I've had some lovely chats with the guys over at the pub, and they say, I worship absolutely nothing. And I'm just, well, you turn up here every night, and it's got the most value to you. This is your place of worship. Now, there's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but if that is your only place of worship, that's the only thing that has value in your life, you are missing out on something. So with this in mind, both Hosea and Isaiah challenge us with these thoughts. We cannot put on our Sunday best as a token offering and then live as we please throughout the rest of the week. That would be hypocritical worship. If we're disobedient to the word of God, i.e. we take the bits that we like and not the difficult stuff, that is hypocritical worship. We can't buy God. If we upset somebody, if we upset the good lady, we might buy them flowers or chocolates. Do you do that often, Terry? I can't. Occasionally, okay. We can. It's so funny watching fellas put arms around their good ladies right now that we might be able to win them over with chocolates and flowers, but we can't buy a relationship with God. If we try, that would be hypocritical worship. In Hosea's day, as we said before, Israel had actually gone one step further, and that imagery of prostitution is there. They'd swapped their love of God for other loves. Even to the point in Hosea, they're actually saying, we don't need that dusty old God anymore. He's no use. We're doing just fine on our own. Look how clever we are. And God says, all right then, I'll leave you get on with it. I'm going back to my place. That's what he actually says. I'm going back to my place. And I'll leave you to get on with it. And then you will see just how much I was looking after you and caring for you. What happened when God left? They were instantly defeated. I find that picture of that map so chilling. It comes to an end. Those 10 tribes, gone. It's finished. We know God's got a plan for them to restore them. We know that's coming again. But I don't want anything in my life to have that. Ka-chunk. It's finished. I will give myself a very good telling off if I got to that place. The path is narrow. And people will be very quick to say how us Christians have got it all wrong. You can probably read it in the news every day. There's something that's being challenged. And they tell us sometimes in quite horrible and aggressive ways how we should be more tolerant. And yet this thing called tolerance doesn't come back to us as Christians that supposedly want to love one another and introduce them to an all-loving God. Will you listen to them, or are you listening to God this morning? If you're listening to God this morning and you hear his voice, will you follow? If God says something to you this morning, will you be obedient and follow, or will you do what you want to do? It's our communion service this morning, and we're told that this is something for those that believe and that have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. That we believe he died and that he rose again. And the good news is he's coming back again. That's what we celebrate. That's what we do in remembrance. And outwardly, we can all take the bread and the wine this morning. Everyone would look and go, oh, because they do that, they must be a Christian. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Why is this serious? Because honestly, as pastor, I want to make sure everybody has the opportunity to step into that wonderful saving grace that God offers. And I genuinely mean this. It would be dreadful if there was anybody in the room today that would like to give their lives to God and they can't because they might be embarrassed about what others think. That would just be dreadful. You might have been here for years and years and years. You might have just come through the door recently. But that communion table should be a sharpener for us this morning. We're going to gather around that in a minute. Are we offering hypocritical worship? I want us to think about that this morning. Matthew 15:8, Jesus' words. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. God sees everything. He knows everything about us. The good thing is we don't need to come and tell him because he already knows. He already knows, and he longs for us to be in that restored relationship with him. The God I know loves to forgive. He really loves to forgive. He longs to forgive us. That's the God that I know. His arms are open wide, desperate for us to run into them. That's the God that I know. With such love that takes away those burdens and those things that have weighed me down. That's the God that I know. And this morning he says, do you want to know me too? I want to restore that relationship with you. The scary thing is, we could be wasting our time if this is not the case. Look it up for yourselves. Isaiah, it's a good start. Amos, Malachi, there are others. And it speaks really clearly in there. God says he will not accept our offerings if our hearts aren't right. He takes no pleasure in our songs, is exactly what it says. He rejects our offerings, even going so far as to say, don't even open the doors if you only have hypocritical worship to offer. He actually says, oh, I wish there was someone amongst you that would actually go and shut the door and stop you coming in. What an awful place to be. Let's that not be our hearts this morning. Let's take time just to reflect again, because I think Holy Spirit wants to talk to each and every one of us this morning. The call is for our whole lives to be about God. What is your heart like this morning? I know some of us have got a dicky ticker as well. We're not just talking about the dicky ticker, though. We're talking about that heart for God. Ask God to reveal that true condition of our hearts this morning. So we pause, you know how it works, and I'll prepare for communion as we do that. But I want to just take time out for a minute and go, Lord, is there anything that I'm offering that's hypocritical? Lord, is there anything in me that needs changing? And if you're not yet a Christian, as we bring the communion table out today, you can stand and say, I want to stand for God. I want my heart to be different. So if you want to close your eyes and just ask God, reveal my heart condition, Lord. What is it that you would say to me this morning? That sharpener for us this morning. Keep yourselves in that attitude of prayer. But look, we're going to break bread in a minute. Is there anybody here that says this morning, Christ, I want to stand for you. I want to follow you. And you've never done it. I don't want to get in the way, and I know church doesn't want to get in the way of that this morning. Bless you. I want to pray for you. Because God loves you, and he's got a plan for you. Sue, would you like to lay hands on our friend here this morning? Is there anybody else who wants to make that stand for Christ this morning? Because we shouldn't get in the way, church, here this morning. I just want to pray for you, Father, as we stand this morning. Lord, we want to declare you as Savior. Lord, we want to deny ourselves and we want to say those things, Lord, that I pursued before, I put behind me, I repent. And Lord, I turn from those and I declare Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Do you declare Jesus Christ as Lord of your life? Holy Spirit, you promise that when we turn to you, you will come and you will cleanse us. You will root out all of those things from within us that have separated us from walking with you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fall afresh now, that there would be a cleansing of one's heart and mind. And in the name of Jesus, we declare you as Lord. We believe, Lord, that you died and rose from the dead. And if we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, you say we will be saved. Do you declare Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning? Father, I pray now, will you just lead us and guide us? Lord, for our dear friend that's standing here this morning, Lord, this is a new journey, this is a new place, this is a new path. When she leaves here today, she's on a different direction because her face is set towards eternity. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you can come here to Limbrick Wood today, and all of heaven will be rejoicing because someone has stepped from darkness into light. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you now, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless you. I'd like to pray with you afterwards, but that's fantastic this morning. Jesus Christ is Lord. There's the opposite, isn't there, of hypocritical worship? Now, I tried to be smart and come up with a term for opposite. What would you go for? Sincere, genuine, good buzzword at the moment, authentic. Authentic worship, is that what we've got? What is hypocritical worship? Just as we draw around communion table, John Piper explained it like this. He said, a hypocrite is a particular kind of liar. Hypocrisy is a peculiar kind of lying. A hypocrite is a person for whom lying has gone down into the personality. Hypocrites don't just tell lies, they are lies. A hypocrite is a horrifying spectacle. Truth has become utterly alien, swept away by deep, deep devotion to self-protection and self-preservation. Truth is not functional in the hypocrite. It is not a governing category. It is gone, and this is terrifying. Don't let this happen. You see, the opposite of lies is truth, yeah? We need to speak truth. We need to live in truth. And we live in his truth. If it's his truth we live in, it's all about him then, isn't it? It's not about us anymore. We live in God's ways, God's kingdom ways. So the opposite of hypocritical worship, what about truthful worship? It doesn't sound as exciting as authentic, but truthful worship for me, I think, is far more important. It says nothing about me. I'm not authentic. I'm not sincere. I'm not the one who's genuine. God is the one who is truth. He is the one that I can build my life upon, because God is truth. So if I live in truthful worship, I live in the truth that he has over my life. He is the one that lays the foundations, and on those foundations, I can build my life, but I build it with his truth. And I don't want it to sound heavy-handed this morning, but the invitation the Bible gives to us is to follow Jesus. It makes no bones about it. It's hard. Are you going to be liked because of it? It's hard. People will think you're weird. That might be the best bit. For Jesus, it cost him everything, didn't it? Jesus isn't a bolt onto our lives. He's not a protective cloak when we feel like it, particularly on a Sunday. I've done a bit this week. I've struggled through almost 2 hours this morning, and we haven't done communion yet. Will he get on with it? We're either a follower of Jesus or we're not. We're either heading for an eternity with him or without him. There isn't any fence sitting, and I want that to be really clear this morning. Think of the Hosea line. If we're not followers of Christ, one day that's coming to an end. He's not interested in our hypocritical worship this morning. Like in Hosea with Israel, God is right and fair to withdraw his presence until they repent, turn from their ways, and say, God, I want you. Someone's done that this morning, and that's beautiful. And God is going to honor that. Have you heard from God recently? Close with this question. Have you heard from him recently? Is he walking with you daily? Or do you feel he's gone home? Haven't heard from him in a while. Don't feel like he's here anymore. What is your heart of worship like this morning? Is it acceptable to God?
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.